the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129 presents Just Love, a conversation on the Church's social mission with Monsignor Kevin Sullivan.
Welcome to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. This is our weekly conversation about the Church in the world. And one of the things that's at the center of what we say, just love, just do it. Just love God, love your neighbor, love yourself, and our world will be more just and more compassionate. You know, we oftentimes here talk about various things that are going on in society. We talk about some bad things that we try to make better. We talk about good things that we like to give a little bit of a shout out to. And, you know, one of the things that when we talk about public policy and we talk about things that are in the public square, you know, that's why we also say just love. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself, and our world will be more just and more compassionate, because as much as we worry about what those government policies are, public policies, what's going on in society, there's also a part of this is that what we do as individuals is critically important to the environment, the way that we interact with each other. And if we kind of focus on what we do as individuals, nobody is too small that we can't love ourselves, love our neighbor, and love God. And if we all did that a little bit more, then cumulatively, we would have a society that was more just, that it would be more compassionate. So when we say just love, that's why I kind of say that all the time at the beginning of our show, that while we try to figure out what we do together, there are things we can do as individuals that make our world more just and more compassionate. Particularly important this week, as on Just Love, we're going to spend some time talking about what's going on around us in society. And one of the things we're going to talk about is one of those things which I want to say maybe snuck up on us, or maybe snuck up on me, about the growing opioid heroin epidemic in certain parts of the country, which is taking lives, which is permeating different communities. And we're going to speak with Vinny Ignizio, who is the CEO of Catholic Charities on Staten Island. Staten Island, one of the boroughs of New York City. And we're going to speak with him about what Catholic Charities on Staten Island is doing to deal with that opioid addiction, which is pretty high on in Staten Island. And then a little bit later on in the show, we're going to go down to Washington and speak with Brian Corbin, who is a senior member of the staff of Catholic Charities USA. And we're going to speak with him about kind of what's going on in the public policy on a national level. So today we're going to speak about what's going on in the society around us, which is why I wanted to kind of begin our show by, you know, talking about the fact that, yep, that's important. But what I do as an individual in loving God, my neighbor, and myself, that's also critically important in making our whole world more just and more compassionate. So, having talked about that, let's go to Vinny Ignizio, who is the executive director of Catholic Charities on Staten Island, and let's talk with him with what's going on there. Vinny, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us on Just Love today.
Good afternoon, Monsignor. Happy to be here. Hope your day is going well.
It is going very well. It's going better because you're our guest on Just Love. So thanks for taking the time. So, Vinny, you know, give our listeners a little bit of sense. You've been the executive director of Catholic Charities on Staten Island for probably about a year and a half now. Give our listeners a little bit of your background, how your kind of journey got you to this position, what you're doing now.
Sure. Thank you for having me, first off. And I really started my career in the other side of the world that you're going to be talking on in the latter half of your show, in the political world. I was a staff member for the city council, and I had run for state assembly. I became an assemblyman in New York State, and then I moved on to become the minority leader of the city council, and I learned a wealth of information and was exposed to things I may not have otherwise. And upon taking the job as CEO of Catholic Charities of Staten Island, I continue to learn about my county, about New York State, and what's going on here. And quite frankly, Monsignor, we have an epidemic, not only here on Staten Island, but throughout the nation, of people, which I believe started as an opioid crisis, My friends at Camelot had warned us about this, that it started with pain pills, and when the price of those pills became so high that people would move to heroin, and that's precisely what they did. Last year alone, here on Staten Island, we had almost two deaths per week. Now, just have your listeners and yourself just absorb that. These are most of the young people between the ages of 18 and I would say 35 who are just ripped from their families out of the clutches of this dreaded disease. So, you know, I think the important role that Catholic Charities played, and I think you know it well, is that we have to address the needs of the community. And that's good and bad. We have an epidemic here that I think requires all hands on deck, and Catholic Charities of Staten Island was proud to launch the Staten Island Heart Initiative.
So, Vinny,
that for a moment.
Let's give our listeners a little bit of sense, and we have listeners from throughout the country. I mean, sometimes I think some of us who are old enough, like we have the movies in our heads, we have the images in our head of kind of junkies on the street shooting up and somebody in a dark corner selling drugs to people and people on the street. But this is a little bit different type of epidemic, isn't it?
Well, that's a great point. So we have several people, and we've heard of several people coming from one of our partners, which I'll get into in a moment, Carl's House, which were and I hate to use this term, but the quote-unquote the good kids. Right, the altar boy who played in Catholic Youth Organization basketball, who went to a nice school, who come from a family which is together and middle class, upper middle class, they themselves had an injury, an athletic injury, and started taking the prescription pain pills to alleviate the pain of a torn knee. And that went to the addiction that got them, and they ended up, going on to heroin. And ultimately, sadly, we lost one of those, and that was one of our CYO players here on Staten Island at St. Clair's Parish. And it's that kind of wake up call when they say, "Oh my God, it's all over. This is no longer the seedy dark alley junkie," as you said. This is in every home in America, and if you don't think they're not coming for your kids, it does. It's pervasive throughout the nation.
Well, Vinny, we're speaking with Vinny Ignizio, who is the CEO of Catholic Charities on Staten Island. And one of the things we've done in Catholic Charities in various parts of the country, but particularly in New York, because New York's so big, we've tried to make sure that our Catholic Charities programs can be responsive to the local community. So we've kind of begun to kind of spin off and create local Catholic Charities. And so about a year and a half ago, we created Catholic Charities of Staten Island, and Vinny became its first CEO. And I'm delighted that he's taking the time to speak with us today on Just Love, and even more importantly, to speak with us kind of sadly about what is an epidemic on Staten Island, but it's throughout the country. So Vinny, having laid out, kind of what happened in that one case, what's HART? What's Catholic Charities on Staten Island doing to try to do its part to deal with this epidemic?
Sure. So what we did was we recognized our strengths and weaknesses here on Staten Island Catholic Charities, and we launched the HART Initiative, which stands for the Heroin Epidemic Archdiocesan Response Team. And the basis of that is, and I think this is true for all your listeners, is and a lot of things in life, is no one can do it alone. No addicts can recover alone. No families or caregivers can give the comfort and needs that their addict in their family has. And quite frankly, service providers such as us can't do it alone either. So what we did was we reached out and formed partnerships. We formed a partnership with District Attorney McMahon, and that's part of the heroin the HART Initiative. So basically, it's a web-based, because that's where all kids and all people are today. You go on to CatholicCharitiesOfStatenIsland.org. If you have an issue, you click on the HART Initiative, which we have a logo there on our page. And let's say you have an issue that you require some help because you are an addict. So we have a partnership with Carl's House, which will send you to the treatment that you need. We have a partnership with the DA. If you notice somebody who's selling or dealing drugs, and in your community. We have a partnership with Staten Island University Hospital in Rumsey, who will come in and utilize our role as the head of CYO, which has over 6,000 kids, to teach them about, teach the coaches how to identify children who are at risk, and to teach the coaches how to dispense, God forbid they had to, Narcan, which is the antidote to a heroin overdose, which is being used throughout the country as well. We are having talks with our kids at CYO, and as well as doing some educational and counseling through our parishes. So it really is Catholic Charities of Staten Island being the center and then the spokes of the wheel going out to people as needed, whatever their issues are. And just today, Monsignor, as only television or radio can do, just today we got one. I'd like to read it to you, if you
sure.
don't mind.
Please.
At the time, it says, and I'll obviously keep the name anonymous, but this person writes, "I am a drug addict who has been taking all kinds of narcotics and opioids that are other people's prescriptions. I really need help anonymously in order to keep my job. I need DCOP detox services, behavior and disorder treatment, dual diagnosis treatment, and outpatient services. I do have health insurance and GSI. Please call me. Please. Thanks."
Now, where'd that appear?
That was right through our website. We
okay.
received that today, this morning. And you know what it is? Because there is no panacea. This is not – we need to capture people who wouldn't otherwise be captured, and we need to let them know that this will be kept anonymous, that we will send you for treatment. We will work to help get the help that you need. But Catholic Charities has to be out there, and everyone – this is a all-hands-on-deck for the community to address and tackle this problem, which is nationwide.
So you touched on this, but Vinny, I'm going to ask you again, and you can give the same answer you gave before, or you can kind of expand upon it. But, you know, Vinny, not my kid. I mean, this is somebody else's problem. My kid's a good kid. My kid's going to school. Why do you want me to get involved in all this awareness stuff and, you know, our families together? What do you say to them?
Yeah, well, it's you know, as a father of a 9-year-old, and any parent out there who is listening, it's your kid too. Because it's your kid has the potential to be that kid too. It is not just the bad kids. It is not the kids hanging on the street corner. You know, I referenced a young man before, and that young man was an altar boy, was in CYO, was at St. Clair's every day working in the parish house. So by all measures, from a family which is together that had some monies, by all measures, this kid was the good kid. And what happened? He got injured, and he started taking the drugs to deal with the pain of his injury, rightfully so, you know, prescribed for him. But then it got him, and he couldn't shake it. And this young man ended up taking heroin, and ultimately cost him his life. So the fact of the burying the head in the sand for all the parents out there, it's not going to work anymore. This is your kid. You have to take an active role in who they're, you know, hanging out with, what they're doing, and ultimately ensuring, God forbid, this disease gets them, to help them cure.
So, Vinny, since we have listeners in all parts of the country, and this epidemic is certainly not only Staten Island's problem, it's throughout the country. Are there, from some of the training that you're aware of and some of those things, what should a neighbor, what should a parent be looking for in their child or maybe in their spouse or in their relative? What is some signs we all should be aware of that maybe gives us a little hint that something's wrong?
Sure. And just to give you the scope, I mean, just in the 2012 drug use study, almost 700,000 Americans reported using heroin in the past year. That's a staggering statistic. And, you know, and what will show you that someone is sadly going at, they become withdrawn. You know, your child stays in his room far more. They no longer associate as much with friends, probably because the drug becomes their need. They weren't worrying about how to get their next fix, because it is a physical addiction. This is not just recreational, I want to go out and do this today. This is an actual physical addiction that gets this young man or young woman, and they need to. They end up, quite frankly, stealing up very often from their parents. So if you notice things are, you know, of value, or leaving your house, or money's being stolen, these are all the warning signs of what's going on here. The grades start to slip because it's just not important anymore. The friends start to slip because having friends is just not that important anymore. The world starts to revolve around the drug, and you as a parent have to identify this and then seek help right away, because it could take one dose that ultimately ends up killing a child.
Wow, that is that's incredibly good advice. You mentioned something else. You mentioned this Narcan. What's that?
So Narcan, not that I'm an expert in the chemical of it, but Narcan is a drug which is sprayed in the nose or up the nose, and if a person is actually going through an overdose, it can pull them out. It basically, and I'm not a scientist by any stretch of the imagination, but it liquidates the effect of the heroin and it actually pulls them out of it. The NYPD is using it significantly. They've saved hundreds of people, and we're actually utilizing it now throughout different groups to teach them how to administer it. God forbid they come upon someone. So it is becoming almost, and I don't mean it to trivialize it, but it's almost becoming the AED, the defibrillators of our time, where you have that handy. God forbid somebody goes down, you're able to pull them out of it. It's the sad reality we live in, but we have to deal with the world the way it is, not the world the way we want it to be.
Well, you know, Vinny, I know that you, as part of setting this program up, had a conversation with our Catholic Charities people up in Orange and Sullivan County, which for our listeners throughout the country is kind of one of the suburbs, maybe about 60 miles or an hour to the north and west of New York City, because they have been doing a lot of substance abuse, chemical dependency programs for a while. And I know that in the past year, they actually administered Narcan to somebody who was in their office and actually save that person's life because of the ability to bring them out of the shock, the overdose that they were in.
Yeah, they are one of the premier treatment facilities in New York State, and they deserve all the credit in the world for that. And they have an amazing organization there. And, you know, the other side of it is, Monsignor, is that government needs to wake up and recognize that this is as big of an epidemic. Government always lags behind the reality. I know this from my past life. There needs to be additional funding for treatment, for centers, for help of communities that want to. And our hope at Catholic Charities of Staten Island is that we're able to export this program to other counties in the state and across the country. We recognize as a nonprofit you cannot do it alone. And utilizing the partnerships that we have to replicate the same in their communities, they can, quite frankly, just save kids' lives.
Well, one of the things that, you know, as I've said this before on our show, is that, you know, Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New York, we're celebrating our 100th year, our centennial this year. And we have a few new initiatives that we're doing. One of the new initiatives is this initiative on Staten Island to get that out. And hopefully we can get the word out about it and other places can try to replicate it. But another one of those initiatives is, and as you, Vinny, mentioned, you know, everybody's online, everybody's digital these days. We're developing a For Help app so that we're including a Catholic Charities mobile app where if people through their cell phones, they can kind of figure out where they can help, get help for a few different things. We're not doing everything, but one of those areas that's going to be on that app is addiction. And so that people who are using their app and say, gee, I know I got a problem, or my neighbor's got a problem, or my son's got a problem, they're going to be able to figure out how to get help through that mobile device, because so much of the world is getting its information through mobile devices. So, Vinny, I just want to say thank you for your leadership. I want to say thank you for what you're doing on Staten Island, and thank you for making the lives of some families better out there and trying to get the word out about this very important thing. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Monsignor. Thanks for your leadership as well on this matter.
Great. Vinny Ignizio, who is the CEO of Catholic Charities of Staten Island, and he spoke with us about a very important initiative. It's a sad initiative because of the extent of the heroin opioid addiction that is in America, but it's a hopeful event because it says there's help. Help in raising awareness, help in getting help, and Vinny and Catholic Charities of Staten Island are partnering and coordinating an effort there to make sure that that help is available. I think we'll take a break now. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. This is Just Love Just do it. Love God, love your neighbor, yourself, and our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. Join us when we come back in just a moment or two on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. This is our weekly conversation about the church and the world. We just spoke with Vinny Ignizio, the CEO of Catholic Charities of Staten Island. We spoke about a very important new initiative, a little bit sad because it's got to be a new initiative because of the rampant opioid addiction in different parts of the world and including Staten Island. Well, this is a week in which there is a lot going on kind of in the public policy arena. Certainly there was a lot of marches, March for Life, a lot of march. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that next week when kind of I have a chance to think a little bit more about it. We'll have some guests who will speak to us about those experiences. Tom, you want to share with our listeners some news items?
Sure, Monsignor. In addition to the marching, Monsignor, one of the things that happened this week after President Trump was inaugurated back on January 20th was there was some praying that went on. And on Saturday the 21st, the president and his family, Vice President Pence and his family and the leadership of the Congress went over to the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., and took part in an interfaith prayer service there. There were 26 representatives of 26 different religions, Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Mormon, Jewish, Sikh, Buddhist, that wound up taking place there. There's been actually a prayer service that goes along with the inauguration going all the way back to George Washington's time. And it's been at the National Cathedral since 1933. But one interesting wrinkle that happened there, Monsignor, there's a imam down in Washington, D.C. His name is Muhammad Majid, and he's head of the All Dallas Areas Muslim Society. And he had indicated he would be praying at the event. He was going to actually do the call to prayer prior to the prayer service. And he got a lot of flack from people for participating, I think, because of some of the rhetoric that has been going on regarding President Trump and Islam. But Imam Majid did wind up praying. He didn't do the call to prayer, actually. He wound up doing two readings from the Quran that basically conveyed respect for diversity. And in kind of answering some of his critics, basically Imam Majid said that it is the role of religious leaders to share the truth and values of faith to everyone, especially those in power. So he kind of answered that question, and he decided to participate, and he did so.
Okay, that's so. What he do you know what he read?
I do actually, Monsieur. He read these two quotes, and I can
read
them.
Before I ask you, how long are they?
Not too long. They're like two sentences apiece.
Okay. Oh, we got time. For
okay,
that.
Very good. The first is from the Surah Al-Hujurat, which said, "O humankind, we have created you a single male and a single female, and made you into nations and tribes and communities that you may know one another. Really, the most honored of you in the sight of God is the most righteous of you, and God has all knowledge." That was the first. And then the second one is that and among signs and sights of God is the creation of heaven and earth and the variation in your languages and in your colors. Verily, in that are signs for those who know.
And that's what he read.
That's what he read.
They're both from the Quran.
They're both from the Quran.
Okay. Okay. Not bad. I mean, I'd like a little bit of interpretation of them, but but they're not bad. They kind of said some nice things. So mm-hmm. I think that's good. So this has been going on since George Washington.
Since George Washington's time, it's been going on since now. I mean, obviously the National Cathedral was only completed in the 20s. So it's only been in the National Cathedral since 1933. And I should say it's always been in the National Cathedral except for Bill Clinton's two inaugurations. He preferred the Metropolitan African Methodist Episcopal Cathedral, which is the kind of the very famous African-American church in Washington. But other than that, since 1933, every inauguration has been followed by an interfaith prayer service in the National Cathedral.
I think those things are good. I like those things, but I'm going to raise a little bit of a question with our leaders, with our listeners, rather. And the question I'm going to raise with our listeners is that sometimes those things are so structured, they're so formalized, there are so many different, you know, people saying different things. I wonder how much actual praying goes on in them, because I think it's much more important that we pray than that we say prayers. And I think the distinction is very, very easy. We can go through reciting prayers all the time, but what prayer is actually trying to kind of talk to God and listen to God at the same time. And every now and then, I think some of the formal prayers might get a little bit in the way of us actually talking to God and listening to God with the depths of our heart, with the depths of our spirit. So, well, I think those are good things. I think, you know, certainly they can't be the only way that we try to communicate with God. So anyway, so Tom, what else? You got any other news?
I sure do. You know, things have been very busy. Obviously, President Trump in his first 100 days wants to make a mark. And one of the things that he's done, he's been issuing executive orders, Monsignor. And on Monday, back on the 23rd, he basically issued two that I think would be interesting to our listeners. The first that he issued was an executive order that reinstated what's called the Mexico City policy. This is a policy first put in place in 1984 by President Reagan that prohibits giving U.S. government funding to non-governmental organizations that offer advice on family planning and reproductive health options if they include abortion, even if U.S. dollars are not specifically used for abortion-related services. Now, Cardinal Dolan actually applauded the president for this. He's chairman of the U.S. Bishop's Committee on Pro-Life Activities, and he said this is a welcome step towards restoring and enforcing important federal policies that respect the most fundamental human right, the right to life, as well as longstanding bipartisan consensus against forcing Americans to participate in the violent act of abortion. So Cardinal Dolan said that. And then another one he did that day was to declare that the United States is withdrawing from the 12-nation Trans-Pacific Partnership free trade negotiation, which distanced America from some of its Asian allies. President Trump wants to boost U.S. for manufacturing and said that he would seek one-on-one trade deals with countries that would allow the United States to quickly terminate them in 30 days, in his words, if someone misbehaves or if we're going to stop ridiculous trade deals that have taken everybody out of the country and have taken companies out of the country.
So let's kind of clarify a few things for our listeners. The Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership is not in effect.
No, it's not in effect. Right.
So nothing happened.
Right.
Because you need to pass the treaty. Congress passed the treaty. They didn't pass the treaty.
Exactly.
So basically nothing happened.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. And then, and you know, he just basically, you know, declared that as a policy, he wasn't going to go after that.
Right. And so, I mean, it's like kind of we got stalled and we remain stalled on it, and it hasn't happened.
Exactly.
You know, on the other item, the Mexico City issue, it is that's a very, very delicate, very sensitive issue. Because it is how our tax dollars are used, how we do various public policy things, and how we use certain things like that. There, you know, has always been the Hyde Amendment, which is one of those public policy things that was basically a compromise that said, all right, you know, the ability to get an abortion is legally recognized in the United States, but many, many people are opposed to abortion, believe that there's human life there that shouldn't be taken. So we're not going to use federal dollars to kind of fund abortion. And those are some of the delicate issues that we deal with on these issues when we have a divided country on some of those key value points, and figuring out how you kind of put forth a pro-life agenda in the midst of a divided country is something that requires a lot of prudence. It requires a lot of fortitude. It requires a lot of stick-to-itiveness in figuring out how you do those things. And sometimes there's a little bit of a ping-pong ball in people use it as a policy battle back and forth. So, you know, the Mexican City policy was in effect, then it was taken out of effect, now it's back in effect. And it's one of those things where actually, you know, depending on administrations, there are areas where there's room for advance, positive stuff, and then there's room where there's not advance. So anyway, so, you know, this is one of those areas in which that pro-life issue was raised up in the way that we do our foreign aid and we do our public policy. So anyway, so let's take a break. And this is Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Our weekly conversation about the church and the world. Just love. Just do it. Love God. Love your neighbor. Love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. Join us when we come back in 2 minutes on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to Just Love. Just do it. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself, and our world will be more just and more compassionate. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. This is our weekly conversation about the church in the world. And we kind of talk about those things which either make our world a little bit better or a little bit worse. And we try to view them through the perspective of kind of our Catholic beliefs, our Catholic vision about the dignity of the human person and the common good, and how we all should kind of, to put it in very simple terms, get along, and how we should kind of respect one another, and how we should try to make sure that the basic necessities of life are for people. And so we speak about those things, and we try to kind of help to form ourselves as participants in what's going on in the world around us. And so I'm delighted that this week, Brian Corbin, the Executive Vice President for Catholic Charities USA, has joined us, and he kind of oversees a lot of their policy work. And I've known Brian for a number of years. He also was out in Ohio with Catholic Charities in Ohio. And so I'm delighted that Brian has taken the time to be with us on Just Love. Brian, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you, Monsignor Sullivan. So glad to be part of the show today.
Tell our listeners a little bit of a secret. Brian is at a very important meeting today, and this is lunchtime at the meeting, and so he's sacrificing lunch in order to share his insights with our listeners. So, Brian, thank you for your sacrifice of lunch.
Well, thank you. It's all part of the pre-Lenten sacrifices. Thank you.
That is good. So, hey, so what are you guys doing down in Washington? What are you doing to kind of make our world better? What are you doing in terms of public policy stuff? What are you paying attention to as we have a new administration in Washington? And you know, let me do a little bit of a preface to this. You know, our perspective at Catholic Charities is that, you know, sometimes we like the guys who get elected. Sometimes we don't like the guys who get elected. Sometimes they agree with us on some things. They disagree with us on other things. Sometimes we're really upset. Sometimes we're really happy. But at the end of the day, we put on our boots, we walk down the aisle, and we say, hey, guys, we're going to talk with you and we're going to engage you because we think some of the things you're talking about are pretty bad. We like some of the things you're talking about. We think they're pretty good. We want you to do more of those, and we don't want you to do the bad things. So having done that very unsophisticated introduction to public policy, Brian, what are you paying attention to these days, and what do you think our listeners should be paying attention to these days with the new administration?
Well, thank you very much. Yes, great entry point. One thing that just to let people know is that in the new, what's called 115th Congress, so again, we just elected back in November a whole new Congress and 30% of the Senate.
It's bad enough we got one Congress. They don't do such a good. We got 115 Congresses?
Exactly. Well, the 115th, exactly.
Oh, I got it. But after 115 times, they still haven't gotten it right?
Oh, they get some things right, Monsignor. So we're just trying to keep on getting good, better things, even better.
Okay.
But one thing that's really interesting about this new composition of the 115th Congress that'll serve for 2 years is that 33% of the members of the House of Representatives are Roman Catholic, and evenly divided between Democrats and Republicans, interestingly. And 22% of the Senate are Roman Catholic. Again, almost evenly divided between Republicans and Democrats. So that's the U.S. population. Catholics are only about 22-23% of the population. So it's a great representation of both the House and the Senate of our faith community. So that gives us some entry points to have some conversations with some critical members, which is really important. But as like with everything else, over the years, we have continued at Catholic Charities USA and through our members like you in New York City and other diocesan directors to continue to work about reminding our policymakers, both in the Congress and in the White House, about protecting the safety net for people. So there are many programs that really do help people break out of poverty, help them try to bridge out of poverty. And so we're really trying to help our Congress to really understand those programs that work and that are effective. And so Speaker Ryan has invited us on many occasions to kind of testify in front of Congress, as well as giving some insights of what really works. So he's visited some of our agencies to see what works and what doesn't work so well. So I think it's really important that people remind their congressperson or their senator to go visit a Catholic Charities agency to see what works in their community, because it's really important to kind of see that. So we're constantly trying to help those members of the House and the Senate, especially those who are on two very important committees, a budget committee and the appropriations committees. And so those are two committees that we really focus. So what are some of the things we're really trying to watch? We're trying to really find ways that we have some conversations and some concerns about block granting issues and block granting Medicaid and block granting Medicare and block granting SNAP, which is a supplemental nutrition assistance program.
So Brian, for our listeners, you guys live this stuff day in and day out. So what's this block granting stuff all about? Give us the 101 introduction to block granting.
Sure. The 101 is that, first of all, block granting would basically say the programs that are called entitlements specifically, that if you apply because you have a certain income status or you have a certain kind of disability status, and no matter where you live, you will if you properly apply and qualify, you will get that benefit. So like in food stamps, if you have a certain income and you've been unemployed or you're having a hard time getting a job or you have a certain level of medium level of income, that it'll follow you no matter where you are. So the conversation is, should we just take those monies and give a pot of money to each of the 50 states and let each state decide rather than having as an individual entitlement? So that's the conversation that's going on. There are some incredible block grants that we already like and use a lot, like the community services block grant, for example. We use that at local levels. So this is where the conversation is, how best to get the money to the states and to individuals. So that's the level of debate. So we're trying to work with Speaker Ryan and members of the House and the Senate just to say what works and what doesn't work. So that's kind of one whole area amongst Senator Sullivan that we're just trying to help think through issues. Another area that we've been watching very closely is the Affordable Care Act and the whole debate currently going on between repeal and replace. And we just sent out a letter with the U.S. Bishops Conference asking Congress members and the White House to think about, if they're going to talk replacement of the Affordable Care Act, make sure that it's done at the same time as repealing so that we know what we're all talking about as opposed to just waiting down the road. So again, just trying to be advocates for that and making sure that people do get coverage and people who have coverage don't lose their coverage and more people that don't have coverage able to get access to it. So those are areas in our forefront right now. A third major segment of areas deals with immigration and refugees, Monsignor. We're very concerned about, especially right now, this group of children called the Deferred Act for Childhood Arrivals, are called DACA. These are children that have been came in with their parents, with or without authorization, and were very young, and now they're 20 years old, and now they're going to college, or they're serving in the military, or they're working. And so we're looking at how we can help that group of young people normalize their status. And there's an act that was just entered into the Congress called the Bridge Act, and we're following that very closely.
And what is the Bridge Act? What is the Bridge Act?
The Bridge Act will somehow find ways that for those children who are young people who are part of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, the Bridge Act will kind of find a way that they could keep their work visas, they can keep their residence visas, and able to stay in the country until some other permanent solution in immigration reform is done, as opposed to being sent back home, where many of them have not lived for 25 years, don't even know the language anymore, possibly. So that's kind of the issue that's going on right now, and we're just watching that closely. But I just got introduced this last week, so we're watching that.
So we're speaking with Brian Corbin, who is the Vice President of Catholic Charities USA, and he focuses a lot on public policy issues. Prior to that, he had been with Catholic Charities in Ohio. And we're speaking about some of the things as we look forward to a new administration in Washington. Brian, could you also speak, because I know there's a variety of ways that people get supplemental food and they get food in emergency food pantries and those types of programs. And some of that money actually comes from the federal government. Could you tell us, is there any stuff going on in the area of supplemental food and that you're paying attention to and have some concerns about?
Yes, certainly. As a matter of fact, just a couple of days ago, I was meeting with some high-level staff people in the Speaker Ryan's office talking about the Supplemental Nutrition and Assistance Program, or SNAP, or food stamps. And literally, they've begun to listen to us and say that they probably will not block grant that, and maybe find a way to kind of continue that. But what's really going on among seniors is that in 2018, I know this sounds like a long time from now, but they're going to be reintroducing...
Isn't it next year?
That's next year, but okay. It feels like a while, yeah. They're going to be reintroducing what's called the Farm Bill. So every couple of years, we have this new reauthorization of how agriculture deals with international commodities and farm commodities and WIC, which is for women, infant, and children, and for food stamps or SNAP, and for child summer nutrition programs and child nutrition programs through the school year. So basically what the Congress is basically saying is that next, as we look at the Farm Bill as it emerges with all these food conversations going on, it's going to be very important for Catholic Charities and others of goodwill and Catholics in the parishes just to remind their congressional leaders how important food is to our daily life, and especially for those people who are struggling, who just might have minimal incomes and are trying to stretch every dollar. So those food pantries are critical, but trying to find ways to help people so that they can literally supplement their income to get the good food they need to feed them and their families.
But so, Brian, many people so, are, yes, so tell us, so how does a farm bill affect the food programs in the country?
Well, the Farm Bill is going to basically lay out how much money will be spent in certain categories, like SNAP, or like WIC, or like child nutrition for the summer, or child food programs for schools. So the farm, and as well as what subsidies go to farmers, what kind of food products will get subsidy, as well as international trade and food related to food aid. So I think the Farm Bill is just this huge bill that is really going to capture all those elements in terms of hunger and food-related products. So I know it sounds like an overwhelming project, and it quite honestly is, but what it tries to do, Monsignor, at its heart, is to keep food producers in connection with people who eat food or need food aid, and keep those two groups together to keep them in a common interest of how do we best serve hungry people and help farmers who are in need of help as well.
Brian Corbin is the vice president of Catholic Charities USA, spends a lot of time dealing with public policy issues. Brian, I know this is a traditional question. This is a kind of an old question, but let me ask it because some of our listeners may be intrigued about this. I mean, I thought, you know, Catholic organizations, they help people a little bit. I thought, you know, we tried to get people and we go to Mass and we, you know, pass on teaching the faith. What's so Catholic about, like, worrying about all these policy things and dealing with all these elected officials? Why is your job part of our Catholic mission?
I think one way that I always think about it is basically, and as you mentioned at the very top of this moment, that as a church, we're constantly concerned about human dignity and the flourishing of human life, and also concerned about the common good. And so what we have, coming way back from the prophetic tradition and Jesus himself, and then the church, that we have to constantly be advocates for human dignity and human life, but also constantly remind policymakers and governmental leaders that their job in public policy is to defend and create the common good so people can flourish. So I think our role goes back to even just the prophetic tradition of saying, how are we living out God's vision of making sure that people can live and flourish in peace and security? So it's that balance between the dignity and the common good where I think Catholic Charities and the Catholic Church are incredible voices for those who are on the margins and most vulnerable.
You know what I say, Brian? I say I do it because I want to get into heaven. Because I got a copy of the test what's on that final test to get into heaven. And it's like, if you feed the hungry people, if you mm-hmm. kind of welcome the stranger, if you kind of visit somebody in prison, if you help somebody who's sick, that you get on the right side, which is the path that goes into heaven. And if you don't do those things, then you're going in the other place. So that's why I do it. I want to get to heaven.
There we go. Well, another story that has just in case you didn't remember, is that the Good Samaritan story where someone stopped and helped his neighbor,
yep,
and helped the innkeeper take care of them. And Jesus said to that young inquiring lawyer who asked him who my neighbor was, he said, "Hey, who did the right thing?" And the guy said, "The guy who stopped and helped someone." And Jesus said, "Go. Do likewise." That's my scary moment too.
Anyway, Brian, thank you so much. Go back to your important meeting and maybe get a bite to eat for lunch before your session begins this afternoon. But thanks so much for all the work you do, and thanks so much for being with us on Just Love today.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. Thank
Brian you. Corbin is the Vice President of Catholic Charities, and he deals with public policy issues for our National Association of Catholic Charities. And, you know, on this topic, you know, one of the ways that we talk about influencing Congress and we talk about legislation, but we know that oftentimes the president can do certain things through administrative action to issue executive orders. And, you know, we're going to talk a lot more about this, but, you know, there's some of the executive orders that the president issues are things that have the impact of policy. Now, for those of us who work with immigrants, and Brian mentioned this, and we work with kids who were brought here by the parents, we were pretty pleased by the action that President Obama did in terms of enabling children who were brought here by their parents when they were young to have the opportunity to kind of work while they're here, to be able to stay here for longer. And so we were kind of positive about that. We, you know, are concerned that, you know, some of the actions that President Trump might take based upon his campaign rhetoric could be actions that could move in another direction of using executive actions to make us a less welcoming and a less integrated country. So we watch those executive orders because, you know, they do set a tone and they actually have impact on real people who we are, who we're trying to help. So, you know, that's important. And I have to tell you, I think one of the things that shows the vibrancy of our democracy, which I have to tell you, I'm a little concerned about at the moment, is the fact that, you know, we've had two very, very large kind of protests, actions, one a women's march, another a pro-life march. And, you know, there was some overlap in the issues that they dealt with. And then there was some divergence in the issues that were dealt with. And there was opposition among some of the things that were being protested there. But the fact that, you know, millions of people came out in both of those marches to express their opinions, you know, is a very, very positive time. And I do think that the need for those type of actions continues. I think it's a type of action that we have to be very, very aware of, and to the extent that we can participate in some of them on our own. Tom, any other news items that you have?
There is, Monsignor. You know, I would say one of the things, just to give a little context, I know before we were talking to Vinny at the top of the show about the national opioid crisis. I know he had mentioned some of the, you know, and you had also said we're a national show. The Center for Disease Control wound up coming out, and they have, there are some numbers akin to this. And the question is, how big a problem is this, Monsignor? According to the New York Times, opioid overdoses have claimed over 300,000 lives in the past 15 years, and in 2015, over 33,000 people have died of opioid overdoses. And if you do the math on that, Monsignor, that means roughly across the country, this is 91 Americans die every day of opioid overdoses. So it's a pretty large crisis when you wind up thinking about it. And I think it's actually a good thing, you know, that Catholic Charities locally is taking a look at it and trying to address the problem and doing something about it.
Now, when so that is a huge, huge number of mm-hmm. people. How does it compare with other deaths, you know?
The other deaths, Monsignor, I don't have that number right in front of me now. I mean, certainly, I think when you end up thinking about it and looking at it, when you see that number, 33,000 people, you know, per year, you know, that's, you know, the impact of families and the impact on communities is huge. And, you know, you could just look at what Vinny talked about, even the impact of having those few people die, you know, on relatively few on Staten Island. That's an impact on people's families as well.
It is. Yeah. It is. So it is a tragedy, and I do think with regard to opioid addiction, we're going to talk in a couple of weeks about some mental health issues. I think one of the things that we need to, and I like our listeners to think about this a little bit, is sometimes there's a little bit of embarrassment. I mean, I think there's a little embarrassment. Well, you know, couldn't somebody resist it on their own? Why'd they do it? Why'd they get into this trouble? There's a little bit of shame that's associated with it. Well, okay, maybe. I don't think so. It's just the reality that we have to deal with. And so I think one of the things we can all do as a community is to kind of foster an understanding that when somebody gets in trouble, the goal is not to shame them, but the goal is to make them feel like they can get help, that it's not embarrassing. I mean, probably individuals are more embarrassed themselves. And so we don't need to heap that shame on them, because our community is less. When somebody has a problem, they don't deal with it. I mean, without even kind of talking sometimes about what the impact can be in very physical ways, the fact that we lose a human being to addiction is not good. So anyway, this is Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Thanks for being with us this week. And join us again next week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Listening to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.